Brigadier Wilson, reel number 6. When you knew that for certain that the war was over, what were your reactions?
Well, there were, of course, tremendous jubilation, I can remember. We'd just come out of this battle of Cotillon. Well, not just come out, because we... armistice on the 11th of November. We were doing battalion drill back in some village in France when we formed up. The commanding officer made the announcement. An armistice was signed at 11 o'clock today. This was a sort of a swell of excitement amongst the men. And our only interest then was to find something to drink to celebrate it. And there wasn't a darn thing to be had. Not a good bottle of wine or anything else. Oh, we soon put that right. But we started, but we moved. We marched on the 12th of November for Germany. And the 1st Division went up straight up into the armistice to the zone, the Rhine.
And you were part of the occupation?
Yeah.
What was the attitude of the Germans towards you?
Well, the men were very, very sullen. And to begin with, as we marched into the villages where we were going to be billeted, there wasn't all the shutters were up, the children were... there was no one to be seen in the village at all. It was like a dead village. And then the children began to come out. And the troops began playing with them and giving them chocolate and things, you see. And then the women thought, well, perhaps they're not too bad after all. Then the shutters came down and then the women came. And because they were all, we were billeted on them, right, in their houses. So they had to get used to us. They were quite happy. But the men were very sullen. They were all working in the fields in their field grey uniform. But you know, never saw them.
They took their uniform home still.
Oh, yes. Oh, you see, they mutinied. As they went back, the officers were all, instead of leading the men, they were at the end, they were behind the men. And the men took charge.
Were they... Was it the sort of an atmosphere of a defeated country or a resentful country?
Defeated. Pretty defeated. And of course they were dreadfully short of all sorts of materials. For example, there was no rubber. And I remember I had a pair of wearing... it was my batman was cleaning my shoes. I had some of these rubber soles on them, on my trench boots. And they were looked at gasping. It was... wonder at all this is wonder. Rubber. They had no rubber for their tires. I've seen German bicycles with springs. They made them some of them way with springs to get along with, without tires. But they're a defeated nation, all right. Mm.
Do you think your experiences in the First World War changed you any? Important ways.
Oh, gave me a good feeling of, I don't know, gave me a lot of confidence in life. I felt I could take on anything that came. I was 26, you see. And I'd finished.
Do you notice many changes in the country, in England, in the years immediately following the war?
No. In the short time I spent in England, I came back from when the battalion was reduced to cadre strength in April 1918. They did just a small cadre of people. Everybody, we were all then sent to regulars were sent to the depots. The others, were sent to places where they were discharged, you see. But it was a lovely period from April to I sailed for India in October 19, and I enjoyed myself thoroughly. I had a bit of money saved up from the war, which I couldn't spend during the war, you see. And I spent most of it in that 6 months. I wish I'd had it when I was going to India. Unfortunately, I hadn't.
You mentioned earlier the state or the condition of recruits when they joined up in August 1914. Could you describe the state of their clothes and their footwear and so on?
Oh yes, well I remember that because I was asked to help a service battalion which had come into the barracks where I was working. My boss arranged with the Kwani officer for me to go and take to help, and I took over a company. And for 6 weeks I drilled them and organized them from nothing. They just came in without any, they've just come from, most of them, a lot of them, many, large number of them, reservists called up. And they were in a very bad state, a state of the country must have been very bad in 14, because after a few days I wouldn't have more than about a third of the men on parade, and the rest would be without boots, with boots which they were so bad in need of repair. And in many cases their clothing was very ragged and torn. Man, you see a man with his shirt out of his backside, his trousers and that kind of thing. It was rather a shock.
Did you see such similar sights among recruits after the First World War?
Oh no. Not at all. Although I wasn't at a depot to see them, but I mean one would have seen them. And I used to visit the training centre at Gloucester, where our people were. And oh no, you didn't have that. They were much better off, I think, by 1939, 40, 41.
In the immediate post-war years, did you feel that the hardships and sacrifices of the First World War had been worthwhile?
Well, I can't say that I gave much thought to it. I was in India. I went off to India and I was fully occupied with all that I was doing there. I didn't. We were very cut off, you see, in those days. There was no radio. Of course, television had been invented, but there was no radio even where we were. And we had to make all our own. We went to one battalion station right out in the blue in the southern India, Ahmednagar. And we had to make all our own amusements. But we knew very little except from what we got from the local Indian papers. But then ours took so long to get out. They had come by sea, you see. So it's all terribly out of date by the time it got out to us. It's hardly worth reading. Well, we were very, very much cut off from all communication, and I think when culture, no, you see, no music, no theatres, no. We had to make our own amusements. We had a few touring companies coming around India, usually third rate touring companies. Very often they arrived broke, and very often had to have a whip round and pass them on to the next station. And some of them were incredibly bad. But they, the troops were in a position to enjoy anything. But some of it was really quite painful. I remember on one occasion when the show was so thoroughly bad that it was very embarrassing. Silence came over everybody, and suddenly, from the back of the hall, there was Tommy's voice rang out, "Well, good night, all." Which brought the house down, of course, but that was the sort of thing we had.
Is there anything else that you'd like to mention about the First World War, about the Western Front?
No, I don't. I can't say that I've ever felt gloomy, and I never had any inhibitions and worries that a lot of people seem to be putting into print since the war. Perhaps it's because I went to a really good battalion where the spirit was first class and the things were done well. And I'm sure that's the basis of the whole thing. I think I would be sorry. I think now, looking back and reading between the lines of all these outpourings, I can't think that some of them must have been some very bad battalions, bad units in some places, badly led. I don't think it happened. But we were well led, I think, fortunately. And I think perhaps I'm maybe in a minority of thinking. I never felt depressed and downhearted about the outcome of the war or anything else. Or always felt we were a match for anything we'd like to meet. And I never felt that I was going to be killed in it, fortunately. So that's lucky.
Wilson, thank you.
Yeah, so.